Chapter 15. "Okay, let's go over the plan one more time," I said, as I discreetly touched the nearly invisible comm device in my ear. For a bunch of technophobes, Riggs and the Magpies certainly could bust out some state-of-the-art James Bond shit in a pinch if they needed to. "Can everybody hear me?"
"Loud and clear, my love."
Emma's sweet, bell-like voice came through over the comms unit.
"I can hear you well, Dave Meyer,"
came Acrasis's placid and agreeable voice right after, and my eyes landed on each of them as we all sat at separate outdoor tables at the cafe across from the shiny glass eyesore that was the formidable Quicken Loans main campus in HQ.
"Everyone's present and accounted for, solid,"
came the sound of Riggs' voice, where he was transmitting from our getaway vehicle. I eyed the dented 1982 Jeep Jamboree, where it was parked on the corner of Monroe and Farmer.
"Okay, so listen up. The building opens at 9 sharp, and when it does, Emma, you'll be the first to enter, followed by the lovely Raz, who are both there under the pretense that they are wanting to sell their souls as a new batch of prospective biohackers for the company. You'll both hang out in the lobby and wait for them to call everyone for a group intake interview, like they do every morning for any new prospects. While you're waiting, at 9:10, Dave will enter with his fake credentials and nam shubs, as if he works there all the time,"
Riggs continued to crackle away in my ear.
"But instead of heading to an office, you make a stop by the men's restroom on the ground floor. Then, while you're in there, you plant the distraction device."
"You mean I clog one of the toilets to hell with a shit ton of paper towels, right?" I snorted and took a sip of slightly burnt coffee.
"Exactly," Riggs snickered. "There should be a little blue button inside the bathroom that calls the janitor on duty. The hard part'll be to sneak his set of keys off his belt. But once you have those, the rest is a cakewalk."
"Yeah, no problem. I'm slick like that," I said, with more confidence than I actually felt. "But hey, fake it till you make it, and carpe all the diems and whatnot." I was not going to let my nerves ruin the only chance I had to pull some actual 007 corporate espionage.
"While Dave is in the bathroom, Emma will excuse herself so that she can change into the stolen janitor overalls stashed inside her very stylish and oversized purse, while Raz stays in the lobby on the lookout for any signs we've blown our cover,"
the older Afro-punk went on.
"Meanwhile, after Dave gets the keys, he will open the janitor's closet, which is right by the main elevator, and you two will borrow a utility cart. You might have to ride the elevator a few times before you are truly alone. And Dave, you gotta sell it that you need Emma to unlock your office in case people start to become suspicious. Once you both are finally alone inside the elevator, Emma will then send an electrical charge to kill the elevator cameras, and then you will both take the lift down to the secret basement, which is probably an unmarked button on the elevator that requires a key. Good so far?"
"Yeah, so far so good," I said, and took another bracing sip of the acidic coffee.
"Crystal, Mr. Riggs,"
Emma confirmed.
"I know my part,"
Acrasis piped up.
"Fabulous."
Riggs's voice crackled back through the comms device.
"Then it's really simple from there. Find the servers, fry the suckers with your groovy electrical field, and then get the hell out of Dodge. I'll be waiting in the jamboree around the back of the building, where the service entrance is."
"You sure we won't stick out like a baboon's electric blue backside for not having any goggles? I've already gotten a few looks from people."
Emma turned her head from side to side.
"Once you're inside the building, you'll be fine. They're expecting that folks like you don't have things like swanky nam shubs, because if you did, then you wouldn't need to pledge allegiance to the corporate devil."
"Hail Hydra," I said, and knocked back the rest of the overbrewed Joe.
"All right, it's coming up on 9:00, so get ready, Emma. On my mark. And go,"
came Riggs's rusty voice, and I watched as Emma stood from her little cafe table, straightened her pinstriped suit jacket, patted her smart bun, and threw away her paper cup. Then she gathered her large tote over her forearm and walked briskly across the street to the modern glass building gleaming in the early morning sun.
"Oh, gracious, this place is huge,"
Emma murmured through her comms. "Tell us what you see, babe," I said, then booted up the nam shubs on my face. When we went over the plan with Riggs back at the container house, I was glad when he gave me some pointers on dealing with Miss Namshub, a.k.a. Alexa Bitch, a.k.a. Abby for short. She booted up on silent alerts only mode, for which I was eternally grateful for, and I whisked aside the usual clutter of bombarding ads and info that swarmed the GUI.
This place looks more like a big fancy hotel or one of those department stores like Sears,
she said.
I don't know where to go.
Ask someone that looks like they work there which way onboarding is for new company biohackers,
Riggs said over the comms.
It's been a while since I've had any updated blueprints of the place, so we might have to solve logistical issues when they crop up.
Hang on a tick. I think I know where to go,
Emma whispered.
There's a lot of us waiting around the elevator. I think the group thing is somewhere upstairs.
Okay, Raz, go and try to catch up with her. But pretend like you don't know her, I said through my comms, and watched the burgundy-haired woman a few tables away from Emma's stand up in her black suit dress and matching black shoes. She then copied what Emma did by straightening her clothes and hair before throwing away her paper cup.
I am on my way, Emma Newbold,
Acrasis said in her monotone voice, and I kept my eye on her until she was out of sight.
Oh, no,
Emma's voice suddenly sounded on the comms. What? I asked, and glanced at the digital time displayed on the GUI. It was 9:08, and a large part of me wanted to just say fuck the last 2 minutes so I could get in there already. But I held back.
Well, do you want the good news or the bad news?
She asked after a long pause. Her voice sounded all echoey, and I figured she was probably in the ladies' room so she could talk to us. All the news, gimme, I said, as a frisson of worry ran down my back, made me sit upright in my seat like an alert meerkat.
Good news is, there are no cameras in the elevator,
she said, and I waited for the other shoe to drop.
There was no need because the elevator is made almost entirely of glass. Plenty of cameras outside the elevator, though.
Shit,
Riggs' voice grumbled through the comms.
A transparent elevator is not one that would potentially lead to a secret level that shouldn't even exist.
So how do we find the lower level if we can't take the elevator? Stairs? I crumpled the paper cup and tossed it into the bin sitting next to me.
None of the building plans I have show any stairs leading lower than the parking garage.
Should we abort the mission?
Raz said over the line.
It's up to you guys,
the older Afropunk said in a crestfallen tone of voice.
All of my inside info is bunk, apparently, and I'm not about to ask you to risk it when I'm flying blind. Again, I did not sign up for this glass elevator Willy Wonka bullshit.
Take it easy, big guy. Nobody's putting the kibosh on this, I said, as the GUI flashed at me that it was 9:10. It just means there's another elevator somewhere that we just have to find. Also, remind me that we need to have a talk about your unhealthy hatred for Willy Wonka, Riggs. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a wonderful story beloved by children everywhere.
Nah, man,
Riggs argued, as I crossed the crowded street along with the other sharp-dressed corporate drones wrapped up in talking too loudly and checking their emails through their goggles.
That shit ain't a children's story. It's about a pedo serial killer that turns children into candy in a sick contest just so he can pass on his sick ways to the poor fuck who manages not to die a horrible death at the end.
I'm still not convinced we're talking about the same movie, I said as I entered the sleek hexagonal lobby of the Quicken Loans building. Svelte chrome railings lined about a half-dozen balconies stacked one on top of the other as their plexiglass glittered in the beams pouring in from the massive skylight that went straight up through the tower like it was fucking Isengard.
The guy had slaves, man. People he took from their own indigenous lands,
Riggs mumbled around what sounded like a cigarette held between his lips. And sure enough, I heard the telltale flick and click of a Zippo followed by an exhale.
Sick.
Remind me to introduce you to my friend Saul, I murmured, as I stood by the large water feature that boasted world's tallest indoor water fountain, and pretended to fiddle with my goggles. From the corner of my eye, however, I was trying to get the lay of the land.
Sorry to interrupt,
Abby's helpful voice chirped into my ear as she unhelpfully almost gave me a heart attack.
I know you set me to alerts only mode, but I can't help but notice you are in the CompuWare building, formerly the site of the Detroit Opera House and Kern's department store. Would you like a map and a guided AR tour?
I went to tap the bezel on the left side of the goggles' frames to activate the voiceless option for no, so I wouldn't confuse everyone over the comms by responding verbally. But before I could, something occurred to me. Riggs said he no longer had eyes on any up-to-date floor plan of the place, so a map would actually come in handy. I clicked the right side bezel instead, and a little pop-out map zoomed to the upper right corner of the GUI.
Thank you for choosing 360 Digital Tours, brought to you by America Online,
Abby said, as if she was trying to upstage the sun.
Anytime you want to know more about a feature, look for the QR code and wink your right eye to confirm you want to know more. Go ahead, try it now.
The QR box near the towering water fountain flashed to get my attention, and I winked my right eye to see what would happen.
This water feature was designed by WET, the same contractors who designed the iconic fountain outside of the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada,
Abby said as a little picture of the Bellagio popped up with advertising on different room rates. Huh, okay. Well, I have a map now, you guys, I relayed over the comms. Ems, what floor are you guys on? I think I can see the elevator. I craned my head back so I could follow the square glass tube all the way up, and then headed toward the double metal doors on the ground floor.
We are on the very top floor. We were told that our group interview will be starting in 15 minutes.
I glanced at the digital time at the top left of the GUI. It read 9:15, so that meant I had until 9:30 to cause a janitor-worthy distraction and swipe his keys. That was all well and good, but the keys were useless if we all continued to run around the building like a chicken with its head cut off. As I waited for the elevator to reach the lobby, I scrolled through the digital map and tried to find any evidence of a level below what was apparently a mailroom, but of course there was none. The elevator dinged, and I entered the glass box along with 15 other stuffed shirts absorbed in their namshubs. Emma wasn't kidding about the elevator not needing cameras to keep an eye on the people inside. The walls of the elevator were so clear, I worried the people below were able to see my nose hairs. Another QR square flashed at the corner of my eye, and I winked at it for something to do while the great glass elevator began to rise.
Quicken Loans occupies 6 floors with over 3,000 employees across more than 35,000 square feet,
tour guide Abby said into my ear.
For the past 20 years, Quicken Loans has been rated highest in customer satisfaction, and it has been named among the top 100 companies to work for indefinitely as an indentured employee.
The elevator doors dinged, and I filed out into a place that looked more like an adult daycare center than a Fortune 500 company. Beanbag chairs of all colors dotted the open space where employees in starched white button-ups sat on their laptops as television screens played bad daytime TV overhead. The smells of coffee and microwave popcorn wafted through the air, and I followed the helpful arrows Abby threw up on my GUI that informed me the employee lounge was further to the right. So I went that way under the pretense that I was just a run-of-the-mill drone just getting his coffee. A giant conference-like table was front and center in the lounge, and I instantly spotted Emma at one end and Acrasis at the other while they waited for the group interview along with 20 other prospective biohackers. I grabbed the top cup of the stack of paper coffee cups and pumped a small bit of the tepid brew into it from one of the carafes lined up on the shiny counters. I used the coffee as an excuse to linger and look for the men's room via the map in my GUI. At that moment, I almost spit out my coffee because a janitor wheeled by with his cleaning cart as he went about lining the trash cans with fresh garbage bags. I heard the telltale jingle of a ring of keys, and I cut my eyes over to the man. I couldn't see the keys from where I was standing on his right side, so I pretended to check out the long plastic tubes of different self-dispensed dry cereals the adult daycare had to offer, just so I could maneuver to the janitor's left side. There on the janitor's left hip was the object of my desire. But my heart sank when I saw that the ring of keys was steadfastly secured to his belt with an anti-theft chain. I turned and walked back to the area with all the beanbags and found a secluded corner next to a bunch of plastic ficuses. "Okay, team, we've run into another one of those pesky logistical snags," I reported, and I heard Emma suck in a small breath while Riggs cursed over the line.
"What now?"
the grumpy Afro-punk groaned. The keys are going to be a problem, but I think I have an idea, I said, as my mind raced ahead and tried to piece together a plan that was salvageable. I didn't want to go back to our camp without those solar panels, damn it.
The group interview is in 10 minutes,
Emma whispered. Okay, ladies, one at a time, leave and come meet me in the beanbag chair room behind all the fake plants, I instructed, as I peered across the sprawling upper floor through said fake plants. From my position, I could just see Emma's bun and the bright flicker of Acrasis's burgundy hair as each one gave a little nod in confirmation. Then, one at a time, Emma stood and walked away from the table, followed by Acrasis a minute later. When all of us were sequestered behind the run-of-the-mill office plants, I pulled a few beanbags closer so we could all sit and talk.
"What's wrong with the keys?"
Emma asked with a concerned frown. "The janitor has a chain on them to prevent pickpocketing," I said.
"That must mean the keys we need are on there,"
Riggs said.
"But how do we get them?"
"I think I have an idea, but Riggs, you really aren't supposed to know all this, so just keep quiet on what you're about to hear, okay? We don't need any more suspicion before we leave town." I looked around to see if anyone was close enough to hear my words, but all of the corporate zombies were absorbed in their nam-shubs.
"Sure thing, man. What happens on Heist stays within the Heist,"
Riggs crackled over the comms. "Okay, Raz, do you remember how you were able to make Emma and yourself a pretend pair of goggles?" I asked.
"Yes, I recall,"
she said, but then frowned.
"Do you need me to make more? They will not work like yours, but they are good just for show."
"No, actually, I wanted to know if you could replicate the janitor's keys instead," I said, as I watched the cleaning cart be wheeled away.
"In theory, yes. But if you require an exact likeness, then I need manual input,"
she said.
"What the hell are you guys talking about?"
Riggs interjected.
"Your girl have Star Trek replicating powers or some shit?"
"Yeah, some kind of shit like that," I responded, and then turned back to Acrasis. "So if we can get you to touch his keys, then you might be able to copy them?"
"I am certain that I will be able to, as long as you can get me into range,"
she said, and the slightest of smiles graced her petal lips. "Excellent. So instead of me going to clog the toilets, you will go with Emma because a dude in the ladies' restroom is definitely suspicious," I said.
"Oh, I like this plan. I think it'll work splendidly,"
Emma said with an excited little shoulder shimmy. "Okay, here's what we'll do," I stated as the plan formed in my head. "Raz, you'll go in first and hide out. Then, Emma, you'll go in and clog the toilet and summon the janitor. While he's dealing with all that, Emma, you'll change into the janitor overalls and meet us by the elevator when you're done, and then we'll try to get you another cleaning cart from somewhere." A bell sounded, and suddenly all the employees in the lounge and the prospective biohackers there for the group interview all stood up and headed off to various places. "Perfect. Okay, go now, Raz," I said. And I watched her weave through the crowd as she zipped around the corner to the ladies' restroom. "Your turn, Ems." Emma then followed suit, while I went back into the lounge break area to see if I could run point and spot where the janitor went.
"Oh, heavens,"
Emma grumbled over the comms. "What now?" I asked.
"The only thing they have for drying hands are these machines that blow air,"
Emma said.
"And all the toilet paper just disintegrates the moment it hits the water."
"Fucking President Gore and the green piecers,"
Riggs said through the static.
"Hang on, guys. I gotta move the jamboree. I'll be out of range for a few."
"Shit. The janitor is heading toward the elevator again. I want to catch him before he gets too far away and we have to chase him down in this maze. Emma, do you have anything that could work?" I pretended to open one of the large silver refrigeration units as if I was looking for my lunch as the janitor jangled past.
"I don't know if... Wait, I have something. Hang on,"
Emma said. "Hurry, Ems, he's about ready to get into the elevator," I murmured under my breath. I startled when another employee cleared their throat from behind me, and when I turned around, I saw it was a guy standing there with a paper sack with the name Jerry scribbled across it in Sharpie. He had an impatient expression on his face, and he looked pointedly at the fridge I was blocking. Sorry, Jerry."
"Got it,"
Emma's voice piped up over the comms as I busied myself with the honest-to-God movie theater popcorn maker by idly pressing buttons and pouring kernels into the silver bowl thing. Then I grabbed the squeeze bottle of butter that was sitting on the side and squirted about half of it in, which actually might have been a mistake, because maybe the butter was supposed to go on after? Whatever. I was sure it was fine.
My, that is quite a mess. Sorry, Razzie. Dave, I've hit the blue service button. Is the janitor coming?
Emma's voice came out a little muffled as she began to change outfits, it sounded like. I looked over to the lift and watched as the janitor checked his flashing nam shubs, cursed under his impressive walrus-like mustache, and wheeled the cleaning cart away from the elevator.
Good job, Emma. It looks like he's heading your way. I'll follow him.
I waited until the janitor passed me and got far enough away before I trailed after him and scrolled through the map on my GUI at the same time. The lowest level of the site was the parking garage, like Riggs mentioned. So maybe if we headed there, we could find some clue on how to get to the secret basement. I took my time walking down the corridor, and by the time I reached the door to the ladies' room, Acrasis was just leaving.
That was quick, I said as I gently took Acrasis's elbow and steered us back down the long corridor toward the lounge.
I disguised myself as a puddle in front of the door so when he walked over me, I could use part of myself to climb up his leg, copy his keys, and slide back down,
she said, and handed me an identical bundle of keys the janitor had on his waist.
Although, I don't think he would have noticed if I had simply taken them from him. There was quite a mess for him to contend with because of the overflowing commode.
Oh, you're a freaking genius, I said, and pecked her on her peach cheek. Hey, how you doing, Ems?
Right behind you two.
Her Southern Belle voice came in over the comms.
Isn't what Razzie did just cleverer than the Dickens?
You both are clever, I said, and risked a glance and a wink at her over my shoulder. What did you use to clog the toilet, by the way?
Oh, well...
She stammered, and I could almost hear the blush in her words.
I didn't have anything else, but in a pinch I found my undergarments worked just fine.
Oh, that's hot, I said, as Raz and I cut through the beanbag forest.
Now, now, my love,
came Emma's sultry voice as she purred into my ear through the comms.
We must keep our minds on task. Besides, I don't know how toilet clogging can be attractive.
No, definitely not sexy, I agreed, and then waited for her to sidle up next to us as we all waited for the elevator before I finished my thought. But you going commando in those cute overalls is...
Hey, gang, I'm back.
Riggs' connection crackled back to life as the elevator doors opened and a handful of important suits bustled out, all obnoxiously chattering on their namshubs.
What'd I miss?
We got a set of keys, but we need to find the nearest janitor's closet so Emma can pick up a cleaning cart and blend in, I said as I hit the L button for the lobby and then frowned at the map on my GUI.
But my tour guide map doesn't really list those kinds of things as places of interest.
Okay, well, based on my latest intel, there should be a utility room on the lower floor just to the left of the elevator. But we all know how shit my intel has been, so...
I heard another click of a Zippo as Riggs lit up another cigarette.
I'm also getting looks from some people, and I can't remain parked here for much longer, guys. Riding around in a 1982 limited edition bright orange jamboree isn't exactly inconspicuous when everyone drives a tampon.
We're hurrying, I said, as the three of us descended down the glass tube. We still need to find the secret basement, so we're heading to the parking garage to see what we can find.
Good. Keep me posted,
Riggs said, and then he went silent. The elevator doors dinged, and the three of us hurried down the corridor that led to the left of the elevator.
Oh, here,
Emma said, and Acrasis and I doubled back to where Emma was rattling the door handle of a steel-gray door that was marked Custodial Supplies.
Excellent, I said, and thumbed through the ring of keys Acrasis had replicated.
I frowned down at them when I noticed that all of the brass keys looked like they were uncut, and if it weren't for the thin strip of circuit board I could see where the teeth were typically cut into the metal, I would have thought Acrasis made a mistake. The keys are all electronic, or almost all.
I found the exception to this in the small, inconspicuous-looking key that actually was cut into a jagged and familiar pattern to all keys that are cut to fit a specific series of tumblers. The round key, no bigger than a mailbox one, was so obviously out of place in the set of modern square ones, it just had to belong to the lock of the secret server room. That key, although awesome that we had it, was rather useless in getting into the supply closet when this lock was clearly meant for one of the 50 modern electronic ones clipped to the ring.
Oh, the lock on this one is electronic,
Emma said, and walked up with an electric spark leaping between her fingers.
Stand clear.
A small electrical buzz sounded when Emma grabbed the metal door handle, and the door popped open without a fuss. Fuck yeah, now we're cooking with gas, I cheered quietly. And then I shuffled all of us into the narrow space reeking of acrid cleaning chemicals. When I shut the door, I whipped around to face my leading ladies. You both are so awesome, and I just want to say, there is no one I would want with me during an epic heist mission to topple the government than you two. Well, maybe also Fila, if she wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb. Now, let's regroup.
Is there anything in here we can use before we head to the parking garage?
Emma asked as a Crasis began to poke around the narrow metal shelves that stored all kinds of supplies, like toilet paper rolls and replacement bags of hand soap. Let's get some of these out-of-order signs and caution signs just in case we need to keep people away from us, I suggested, and grabbed probably way more than we needed, but it was good to be prepared.
Dave Meyer,
a Crasis's voice floated from behind the shelves.
What is this?
What now? I asked, and wound my way toward her while trying to keep my broad shoulders from knocking things pell-mell off the shelves until I found her staring at the back wall.
Look, I feel a draft coming through,
the burgundy-haired slime girl said as she held out her hand. I squinted through the dimly lit space and saw that on the wall it looked like an empty square picture frame was mounted with nothing to show, but when I touched it, the frame didn't budge. Huh, I grunted as I held my hand out where a thin, cool stream of breeze was pouring through the edges of the frame. Hey, Abby, what is this for?
Hello. It looks like you are in a small storage closet, probably used for...
The AI began to rattle off. No, I know what a storage closet is used for. I meant this weird frame thing, I said, and focused on the object on the wall.
It looks like this is a feature left over from when the CompuWare building used to be the Detroit Opera House,
Abby said as she popped up various links and images of the old building in all of its grand architectural glory.
It seems to be a dumbwaiter the Opera House staff would use to send the costumes down to the basement for laundering.
My mind made connections faster than Emma's lightning as the realization dawned on me this building was remodeled from a previous version.
What is it, Dave Meyer?
A Crasis said as Emma joined us in the back. This place used to be an old opera house, and that used to be a dumbwaiter or a laundry chute, I said.
Like to send dirty linens through?
Emma asked. Exactly. That means this place probably has another set of blueprints that don't show up in the modern archives. And I'd bet they also show the secret basement. As it is, going to the parking garage would be a waste of time, given it's a new addition to the original site.
So where do we go now?
She asked and tugged her janitor cap lower on her head. Let's ask Abby. Abby, where does this shaft lead now?
The shaft used to lead down to the Opera House's laundry facility. It has since then been transformed into the Quicken Loans mailroom. Let Quicken be there for all your lending needs.
Okay, that's enough now. Back to alerts only mode, I said, and then turned to my girlfriends. New plan. We're going to the mailroom. If there's a secret storage room, it's got to be down there.
Let's go.
A Crasis nodded, and together all three of us left the custodial closet behind Emma and her pilfered cleaning cart. In my excitement to get going to the mailroom, I forgot to stagger our exit so it wouldn't look suspicious. And of course, this was when we all ran smack into a frazzled woman with bleached blonde hair and bright pink lipstick.
Oh, there you are. I've been trying to find someone that can fix the popcorn machine. Oh.
She blinked her spider mascara eyelashes and looked between all three of us.
Why were all of you in there together? And where are your namshubs?
Emma faltered as her hand hovered up to her naked face for a second. Shit. Mistake number two. We didn't have time for this, though. I came and got her first because I need her to unlock my office, so your popcorn is just going to have to wait, I said casually, and then I gestured for Emma and Raz to follow me toward the elevator.
Office?
The busybody behind me said as she followed us like a dog with a bone. The lady must really need her morning popcorn, Christ. Yes, I accidentally locked myself out. Happens to the best of us, I said, and jabbed the down button for the elevator.
But the Quicken family doesn't believe in separate workspaces. We believe it promotes dissent, so all of us work in one big office,
she said, as if she was QL's personal lapdog.
A And why are you going down? All the offices are upstairs.
Oh, for the love of... I growled as the elevator emptied of a few employees on break. And then I hustled us all inside, but I held my palm up to prevent Mascara Face from joining us.
How dare...
She gasped as the doors began to close on her stupid deer-in-the-headlights expression. Find another janitor, Karen, I snapped, just before the doors slid shut. I was able to see her rush off to the nearest security guard and rolled my eyes.
What a rude woman,
Emma said.
How did you know her name was Karen?
It's probably not, but it's a type of name you give to busybodies that won't mind their own business, I grumbled, still hacked off. Hey, Riggs, we might have just blown our cover, so be ready to bug out the second you see us.
Copy that,
Riggs said.
I gotta move the jamboree again, but I'll try to be quick. Over and out.
Okay, let's find this fucking server room, I said, as the elevator came to a stop and dinged open to a fully automated mailroom that almost looked like a car manufacturer given all of the mechanical jib arms sorting and shuffling mail with their three-pronged claws. They would remove the plastic tubes pouring in from the pneumatic pipes lining the back wall like a huge church organ, and then they would somehow read the barcode on the side of the tube before placing it into the correct outgoing pipe to be sucked up and out to the correct office. It was impressive, but I was mostly relieved there were no people around to scrutinize us. All right, let's hurry. Everyone split up and look for a door with a lock that could go along with this key, I said, and held up the little round brass key on the ring. Holler if you find anything, but not really, because of the comms.
Wait!
Emma said, before we all broke apart. She spun around and hit the elevator button before the lift could be called away again, and the doors slid open. Then the clever beauty parked the stolen cleaning cart right into the jam, preventing the elevator from closing and effectively trapping it downstairs with us.
That should buy some time.
Smart, I praised, and kissed her red apple cheek. Right, Emma, you search down the left corridor there, and Acrasis, you take the right. I'm going to check around this area for any hidden doors, so I can also keep a lookout for that security guard I saw Karen talking to. Let's go. Assigned with our tasks, we split apart, and I personally made a beeline to the large pneumatic pipe system in the back of the main room. I don't know exactly why I thought this was a good place to look, only that compared to the sleek modern robotics, this vining pipework looked old or outdated comparatively. I figured if they updated the mailroom so far that they replaced the need for all people, then they would have updated the piping that looked like it was at least 10 years older and made from copper instead of the shiny chrome alloy the rest of the building boasted. When I came closer to examine the structure, I noticed an odd pattern when I observed the twisting and grasping of the robotic arms. The arms were coordinated in a perfect dance as they plucked tube after tube out of the copper pipes, and I stood at an angle so I could see down the line as the plastic message receptacles were removed by expert metal fingers, as if Optimus Prime himself was playing a harp. It was kind of mesmerizing, like one of those satisfying videos on YouTube I used to watch when my mind was too geared up to fall asleep. However, it wasn't completely satisfying, because on every pass, the arms skipped over four of the pipes in the middle, throwing off the smooth momentum of swivel, pluck, swivel. Taking care not to get smacked in the head by one of the robotic arms, I wended my way to the middle of the structure to check out what was up. When I got up close, I saw that the four pipes in question weren't working, and I first thought it was busted and just required a maintenance request. But it was odd because I could still feel air pouring through even though the air pressure was turned off. This air definitely wasn't the pneumatic gusts associated with the surrounding mail tubes, but similar to the draft we felt through the dumbwaiter. Hey guys, I said through the comms, as my heart rate ratcheted up with excitement. I think I found something. Come quick! I poked a finger between two of the pipes where the draft was strongest, but when I tried to squint through the crack, I couldn't see anything but darkness.
Where are you, Dave?
Emma asked, and I turned to see her and Acrasis standing in the middle of the room. Back here! I waved my human arm in the midst of all the robotic ones. Watch your heads!
I feel the draft here too, Dave,
Acrasis said when both women were by my side. I know, I feel it too, I said with an excited grin. I think this wall of piping is acting like a false wall, and something is hidden back here. We have to try to find a way in. Emma pressed her palm against the pipes so she could feel the faint breeze too, and then she felt along the back where her thin fingers were able to go a lot farther than mine.
I think I feel something back here, like a catch or something. But stuck,
she said with a furrow buckling her brow.
Let me try,
Acrasa said, and then she melted into her pliable slime shape and bled through the cracks between the pipes. What do you see, Razzie? I asked.
It is quite dark, but I think I...
she began. Before she could complete her thought, a loud clank sounded, and the four pipes snapped upward like a garage door to reveal a small dark chamber where the real back wall of the mailroom was located. And in the center of that wall, a door. Hell yes! This has to be it! I stepped into the chamber, rushed to the door with the round key, and slid it home into the lock. It fit like a glove. Ready? I asked the two women, crowding me on either side. They both nodded eagerly with saucer eyes and matching grins, and with a click, I opened the nondescript door. Holy shit, I began, while Emma gasped. Mr. Riggs was right. The room was way bigger than I realized, and inside there were at least 300 towering banks of servers, all whirring away and blinking their merry lights.
Time to say goodbye,
Emma said with a wicked smirk on her delicate lips, and her slinky curls began to float as static built up in the air around us.
You both might want to go back out, just in case.
Noted, I said, with wide eyes, as Emma continued to gather her power in that scary, awesome way she did, just like when she was playing her Thunderbird act in front of the AU Aztecs. I knew when she had that fierce expression on her face that she meant fucking business, and it was best to steer clear. Come on, Razzie. Acrasis and I stood just outside the door to the secret server room as Emma discharged her electrical field in a surge that was big even by her standards. So much so that when the blitz cut out along with all the server's lights, I was able to see her silhouette as it crumpled to a heap on the ground. Emma! I cried and bolted back into the room. She was still, and in the fluorescent light flooding in from the mailroom, I was able to see a bit of smoke rising from her body. I crashed to my knees with my heart in my throat, and I was almost afraid to touch her if my worst fears were actually reality. But before I could truly work myself up into a frenzy, Emma moaned softly, and her eyelids flickered. Emma? I called, and cupped her pale cheek.
Dave,
Acrasis said from where she knelt down next to me.
I hear something.
They came down here, I swear!
Came that shrill Karen voice, followed by the jangling of the security guard's keys. I ignored it, though, because my first priority was Emma.
Davy?
She croaked and blinked her eyes open. They were glassy and confused, but so blue and beautiful I nearly sobbed with relief at the sight. Yes, honey, it's me, I said with a slightly watery smile.
Did I get it?
She asked. And then some. What happened?
I don't quite know. But it felt like I was overloaded with too much energy,
she said when I helped her sit upright.
Like my energy was amplified by something.
Ma'am, there's no one down here,
came the security guard's tired voice, and I put a finger up to my lips for silence. Carefully, the three of us made it back to the opening in the pipes so I could see what was happening. The Karen with the pink lipstick and nothing better to do with her life stood with her hands on her hips as she glared at the older, overweight guard.
Are you calling me crazy? A liar? I saw them come down here with my own two eyes. And look, here's the cleaning cart blocking the elevator.
The woman marched over to where the doors were still bouncing idly off of the obstacle and pulled it away so the elevator could resume its usual business.
What do you suppose that is then, huh?
The guard rolled his eyes, but he conceded her point with a shrug.
It does seem strange, but there isn't anywhere to hide, and the only exit has an alarm. Unless...
I saw the guard trail off thoughtfully, as something seemed to occur to him. He grabbed his set of keys from a retractable zipline keychain on his belt and looked down first at them, and then directly to the place all of us were hiding. Crap! Shit! Fuck! The guard squinted through the blur of the mechanical arms sorting mail, and I only hoped he couldn't see the opening in the middle through all of the activity. He took a step in our direction, and I knew it was over. Suddenly, a loud alarm blared throughout the building, and a crackle came over a walkie-talkie clipped to the man's shoulders.
Hello, we got a fire on level 6, and it looks like someone fucked with the popcorn machine again, so I'm going to need you to supervise the evacuation,
the dispatcher on the other end said.
Copy that,
The guard named Lou grumbled and clicked off as he headed toward the elevator and got in.
Where are you going?
The generic Karen type screeched as she marched into the elevator with him.
Lady, there's nothing down here. Now, if you're finished wasting my time, I have some real work to do, he said.
I didn't hear her reply because the elevator doors closed on her outraged by this circus face.
Whew, that was close,
I breathed out, and then the three of us scrambled out of the secret chamber. Let's GTFO before anyone else comes around.
Agreed,
Acrasis said.
On my explorations, I believe I found the exit door the guard was talking about.
Let's get the hell out of here, then. Hey, Riggs, you there? I tried on the comms for our Afro-punk getaway driver as I helped Emma along the corridor Raz led us down.
Hey, man, whatever you did must have worked because all kinds of people are pouring out of this place like rats on a sinking ship.
Riggs exhaled through the line, and I could hear the sound of the jamboree roaring to life.
Did you start a fucking fire?
That might have actually been an accident, I said, when I remembered how I majiggered the contraption when I was pretending to blend in like a regular employee. Are you close?
Right out back,
Riggs replied, and he was good on his word because the Jeep Jamboree was idling in the back alley behind the building, and I've never been so happy to see such a hideous color of orange in my life. We all piled in, and Riggs peeled out of the alley and toward freedom.
Check this out,
Riggs said a little while later as he cranked up the volume on the stereo where a newscaster was talking in his plummy breaking news voice.
Just received word that a major security breach has affected the headquarters of Quicken Loans. Reports are flooding in about how this is the biggest server crash in history. It will only be a matter of time before we know how much data has truly been lost, but it is estimated that client loan contracts have been completely wiped out, numbering in the hundreds of thousands, and still rising. More on this breaking news as it develops.
You guys did it,
the older Afropunk said with a suspicious mist in his kind brown eyes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know how anybody could possibly repay you for giving people back their lives.
Just pay me in those solar panels, and we'll call it square, I panted as I tried to catch my breath, and then I looped an arm over each of my girlfriends as I leaned my head back on the seat with a wide grin. I couldn't wait to get back and see what all the magpies had in store for us.